All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. As always, we've got Mikey V. Down below, we've got Joey Coldcuts and myself, the big ticket. Joey D, Mr. Anderson says here that it's our two-year anniversary of The Sportsman, so I'm just going to take that as fact. Happy two-year anniversary, Joseph.
Wow. Good for us, man. 2 years going. I remember when this was just a pipe dream, and now look at us go.
Especially since we brought on Mikey V. I mean, you must be 6 months now, right? I mean, I feel like it's been close to six
months. Been a while, yeah. Been a while.
Yeah.
So Mikey V has really been like the adhesive glue that has brought everything together. And I would say if we were collectively a sundae, then Mr. Anderson, EA Sports, is the cherry on top of the sundae, because without Mr. Anderson,
he's the glass. I think he's the glass holding the whole time. He's the glass.
And the spoon.
I think he's the glass. Yeah. Yeah.
Spoon, dog.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson has brought this podcast a long way. And I'm having fun doing these episodes. And you know what? We're gaining a little bit of traction, a little bit of movement. Now tonight I'm going to go on the record and say, I don't think we can do a 2.5 hour episode tonight, boys.
Yeah, probably not.
Long travel day.
And it's Halloween. It's Halloween. I lug the kids all around town. I'm beat to a pulp.
Did you get some good candies for the kids?
Yeah. Good candy for myself. Yeah. Very good.
The G baby ones have got to go straight to your
G baby. No, Dom's do actually. It's funny enough. Dom doesn't like sweets, but he loves the idea of trick-or-treating. Like, he loves it. He'll eat M&Ms, but that's kind of like where he ends it. Like, the other stuff he really won't touch, so it'll be Dom's haul that I'll inherit. And G baby is a sweet freak. She'll eat anything. So
really,
yeah, she's bad. She's real bad. She's a problem, actually.
Were the costumes this year?
She was a pumpkin, and Dominic was a fireman.
Fireman, look at him.
Yeah, he's a fireman, yeah.
Good for Dom.
Yeah, yeah.
When you really think about Halloween, it's like you send the kids as foot soldiers to collect candy for you.
That's mostly correct, yeah.
That's really what it ends up being.
Yeah, I mean, until they hit that age where, like, they're going to just eat all the candy, yeah.
And then you give them their small cut for doing the legwork, that you get a few pieces, but the rest is ours.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, guys, I'm sick as a dog today. I'm taking NyQuil here. I'll probably halfway through this thing, I'll probably pop some NyQuil. I'll let you boys do a lot of the legwork here today. Much like Mikey V's kids collecting the candy. But let's just start with the college football ranking that just came out. I'm sure at least one of us here is very, very happy. Maybe two for a future bet for Joey D, but Ohio State is now number one. Mikey V, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the floor first. What do you think?
They were talking about that being the likelihood a couple nights ago when they were playing their road game at Wisconsin, after they had beaten Wisconsin. And I'm going to say this, and people aren't going to like it, and people are going to bash it, and people are going to, you know, shit on it, especially SEC fans, because SEC fans are extremely biased towards the SEC, more so, I think, than any other fan base in the country. They're so heavily SEC biased, which and rightfully so. The SEC wins all the national championships for the most part, and really outside of the SEC, the only competitors in the playoff and winning in the playoff have been Clemson and Ohio State. That's really been the only other two teams outside of the SEC, Bama, Georgia, that have been competitive and won in the playoff. That being said, though, this year, if you simply just take a look at Michigan's schedule and you take a look at Georgia's schedule, Michigan's best wins are against UNLV at home and Rutgers at home. Those are their two signature wins. Georgia's signature win is Kentucky at home. They haven't beaten an LSU. They haven't beaten an Alabama. They haven't played a Florida. They just beat Florida. That's my apologies. They waxed Florida pretty good.
Killed Kentucky too.
Florida not good. Kentucky's got a couple losses, but still, if that's your marquee win, I'm sorry, at home, that is not in the stratosphere of Ohio State's resume. It's not. Ohio State went on the road and beat a Notre Dame team who I still considered one of the top teams in the country. I think Notre Dame is still one of the top teams in the country. They dismantled Pittsburgh last week. They fell against Louisville. They had a bad letdown game against Louisville on the road at Louisville. their stretch was insane. That stretch Notre Dame went on. Ohio State at home, Duke on the road, Louisville on the road, USC. They came out of that 2-2. They could have beat Ohio State. That was an extremely close game. They waxed USC, made them look terrible. Ohio State's resume is just better. It's just better than both those teams. So I understand Georgia's fans, but the bottom line is, if a Georgia fan is being honest with themselves and anyone from the outside looking in, this Georgia team is not the Georgia team of the last 2 years. They are not to that level of elite talent that Georgia was the last 2 years, in my opinion. They're not. They're not. They're not as good as those two past Georgia teams. Michigan is an anomaly because Michigan is doing what they're supposed to do. They're blowing out everybody they play, but for the love of God, they've played nobody. And it
yeah,
doesn't
but they
get
can't control that though, Mikey.
Sure they can. They schedule their out of conference. They absolutely can control that. Their out of conference schedule this year was an absolute joke. They played UNLV. They played Bowling Green. Ohio State scheduled fucking Notre Dame. They scheduled Notre Dame. Schedule a real out of conference. They play Purdue this week. It doesn't even get any harder. Their last 3 weeks are difficult. Notre Dame, Maryland, Ohio State. But Ohio State's already beaten two of those teams that Michigan's going to play. Michigan's schedule is soft as baby thighs. And there's nobody, including a Michigan fan, that could look at it and say any different with a straight face. You just can't. It's the facts of the matter.
You know what, though?
The rankings mean nothing at the end of the day.
That's what I was going to say. They don't mean shit. They don't
mean
anything.
Because we know the only thing it means is that those four teams, if they win out, they're in. That's what that means. Michigan, Ohio State, you know one of them is going to lose because they play each other the last game of the year. So one of them is guaranteed a loss. Florida State, nobody's beating Florida State in the ACC.
Florida State looks fucking
good. Clemson is shit. North Carolina just lost to who did they lose to this past week? Georgia Tech.
Oh, they
or
looked
no.
awful. Georgia
Was it
Tech.
Georgia Tech? Yeah.
Georgia Tech.
Bad loss for North Carolina. They ain't beating them either. Miami? I don't know. I just think Florida
and North
State
Carolina
will
lost to Virginia too. They yeah. looked terrible.
So I think it's just a matter of, you know, just seeing how it plays out. Now I think the Pac-12 had an inside track of getting a team in the playoff. Until all of them lost. Washington is the only team left, really, that you could say has a real shot. If Washington wins out, I think they're going to get in, and they'll get in over a one-loss Ohio State or a one-loss Michigan. I do believe that. They will get in.
Well, one of the benefits of being number one is when, like you said, there's a guaranteed loss with Michigan versus Ohio State. One of those teams will lose. The benefit of being number one is, I think, Ohio State being at one, having the schedule that they did, I think if they lose a competitive game against Michigan, they lose by 3 points.
They might stay in.
Whereas if Michigan loses, even if it's close, they'll fall out as it stands right now.
Yeah. Yep. And there's plenty of time for Michigan to jockey to the 2 spot over Georgia. Right. Should Georgia slip up along the way. But to be honest, the playoff rankings now, it's the first one to come out. Everyone's going to talk about it too much. Let's just see how the rest of the season plays out. There's still 4 more regular season games for these teams to play, or 4 or 5? 4. 4 more regular season games for these teams to play. That's a month of football. A lot could happen in a month. Rivalry games start kicking in now, and that's when things will get interesting. Washington on the road this week against USC could be an interesting game. The line's a little fishy there. I understand USC doesn't have a defense. I understand USC should have lost last week, but this just feels like a spot to me with Michael Penix, I believe, not being 100%. Washington does not look as dominant as they had in previous weeks. I think this may be a sneaky spot for USC to upset Washington this week.
Wow, we were talking about last week. I don't even know if Caleb Williams should be playing anymore because they're not anything.
I agree.
And it's only gonna impact his opportunity to go high in the rankings. He gets hurt. That's a disaster. Looking at Georgia's schedule, they got Ole Miss in 2 weeks, and then they're at Tennessee.
Where's that game?
It's in Georgia, which they should win. But then they go to Tennessee, and Tennessee is
Rocky Top's a tough place to play, and Tennessee's a weird team.
Yeah, they look horrible 1 week, and then the next week they look like they could be a contender.
Joe Milton, very frustratingly inconsistent at quarterback there. Former Michigan quarterback Joe Milton. Very, very frustrating to watch him at times.
I think
hot and cold.
I think I would agree with Mikey's overall statement. I don't really think that these rankings mean anything, because you see in college football, one week to the next, everything can change. One loss can ultimately be the demise of a team trying to make the top four college playoffs. The shame, I think, and I don't know, Mikey, if you agree, like, in the future, if they should extend a couple more playoff spots, because a team
they
like
have.
Notre,
they have.
I'm saying, but going to six.
They have. They're going to 12.
They already are going.
Oh, they're going to 12 now.
They're going to 12 next year. I think starting next year, it's 12.
I think the reason why I say that is you put a team like Notre Dame in there, I think they could give a game to almost anybody.
Of course,
I think they could beat Florida State. They came within a minute of beating Ohio State.
Yes.
And I think that they look so good, but unfortunately with two losses, they're not going to make it. And then Alabama is another team. Like, I don't know now. They're starting to settle in now that they have their quarterback. I don't know. Like, it's interesting because there's a lot of teams kind of like right on the outside looking in, and they're not going to make it. Like, Alabama's got a chance if they win out. But Texas is another one. Texas.
So next year, I mean, everyone has to remember this who's going to complain about this. The landscape of college football is going to change drastically next year. And I got to be honest, I think 12 teams is too much.
I didn't know I thought they were going for the following year.
Next year, 2024. I think 12 teams is too much. I think it's too much because I love how, and four is too little. I think they should have made it six with two teams getting a bye or eight. 12 to me is too much because what it's going to do is it's going to take away the feel of those marquee top five, top 10 games in the middle or the end of the year that feel like a playoff game. Those games feel like an elimination game and do or die situations. And I think that's kind of going to be taken away. The 12 team playoff is going to be the six highest ranked conference champions and the six highest ranked at large teams is chosen by the CFP selection committee. So, I mean, listen, that in and of itself is going to be very, very, very interesting. And this is the wild part. The top four conference champions will be seeded numbers 1 through 4 and receive first round byes. So if you're 1 through 4 seed, you get a first round bye, and the remaining teams play first round games on the campus of the better seed, which to me is fucking incredible. That's incredible. College football is finally going to have a playoff game on your home field, which is, we've never seen that. Yeah. That's incredible. It's just going to be so awesome next year that regard. But I do think it's too many teams.
Is that cutting into the regular season or are these bonus games we're getting?
These are bonus games. This is bonus football.
Bonus.
This is bonus.
Regular
season will remain as is. Yep.
So we're going to have college football later into the new year than we normally
do. The quarterfinals are going to be New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. That's traditionally when the semifinal is, right? Right. Then the Fiesta Bowl will be at night on New Year's Eve, Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. That's the first year. The semifinals will be the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl on January 9th, which would normally be the national championship week. And then the college football championship title game isn't getting played until January 20th.
That's kind of great. That's awesome.
It's fucking great.
It's
awesome. The format, listen, the format and the game scheduling is awesome. Only thing I don't like is maybe it won't, but I just like when you have, like, let's say this weekend, Alabama and LSU is this weekend at Alabama. That game is a do or die game for both of those teams to have any shot. Bama's got one loss. LSU has
two
losses. Mm-hmm. This is the last chance for, and you know that going into this game, whoever loses this game is officially out, done, no chance. So that's what makes this game like Saturday night. Like that's a playoff game. You're watching a playoff game on Saturday night. I just hope that this format doesn't take away from that, because that's what to me makes college football superior in a respect in comparison to the NFL, because every week when you get a matchup like this, it's just so do or die.
It's like a playoff game. Yeah.
It's just incredible. It is. It's just incredible.
But I think now you'll be getting it in this playoff.
In the latter. You're getting it on the back end. Yeah.
You'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think they obviously saw how successful March Madness is, and they're trying to move towards that direction. Obviously they'll never get there because football is a much more tiring sport. You can't play every other day. But I'm excited to at least see how it goes. I understand your concerns, but
it's
I think
a lot of games though, man. It's a lot of games because, but now you're talking about a team's got to play in a conference championship game potentially. Yeah. Now they do get the bye. So you would think if they win the conference champion and they're Big Ten or ACC, SEC, they will get the bye. So I guess you're actually not really technically adding a game because they're not going to be playing in the quarterfinal. They'll go right to the semifinal.
Yeah.
So I guess in that regard, it's not an extra game. But some teams, I mean, they're going to be playing those three extra games. That's going to be wild. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's the most revolutionary ball trimmer the world has ever seen. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. We're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. AI is cool, but I think this may be the most technological advancement the world has ever seen. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultrasphere this year by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping when you use code SPORTSMANPOD. High tech for low places. That's Manscaped. Guys, take a look at this puppy. This is one of the more beautiful pieces of machinery you could ever imagine. This is the gold standard of groin grooming. And guys, we know how nerve-wracking it could be when you're in the shower and you got to take care of business, make yourself presentable for the evening. You nick, you cut in the wrong spot, it's all over. With the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, those worries go out the window. Let me tell you right now, get your hands on one of these. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SPORTSMANPOD at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code SPORTSMANPOD at manscaped.com. I can promise you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship. Get yours today from our folks at Manscaped.
Yeah. I know we want to get into NFL, but there's a few things I want to, maybe we'll cut short some of the NFL stuff because there's a few things I do definitely want to get into. I want to touch on the World Series, guys. We haven't really talked much baseball since the Phillies. I don't even think we talked when the team
in destiny. We kind of steered away from it.
So let's talk a little bit about the NLCS, the ALCS, and how the World Series is going so far. Joe, I know you've been watching it all pretty closely. Why don't we start with you? Anywhere you want to start in there?
I remember when we were talking about actually the last time it seemed like we were talking about baseball and here we were talking about how great the Phillies were and how exciting they were. And I not to pump my tires because I'm not a baseball guy, but I was watching the Texas Rangers very closely and I said, you know, this is a team, they're winning on the road. And they're doing it very impressively. They're scoring a lot of runs. I said, this is a team, you know, the Astros are tough to beat every year. I said, this is a team to watch out for if they could make it. I think this might be the team that could do it all. They're 8-0 on the road. I think that is 9-0 now. Astounding. They were 8-0 going into last night. This team has mental resolve like I've never seen. The fact that they won that first game against the Diamondbacks, who have a really solid bullpen, and they were down two runs. Corey Seager looks rejuvenated, man. He looks like he did with the Dodgers. And then Garcia, I don't know if he's playing tonight.
Garcia is absurd.
I don't know if he's playing tonight because I know he hurt his back. But my God, dude, this team is stacked, and they can hit. And imagine. I mean, they got DeGrom, who's not even playing. Scherzer's been hurt. You know, I mean, like, this is a team that if they could kind of keep some things together, I think they're going to win the World Series as is, but they could be a team to reckon with for a little while.
Garcia's out for the rest of the World Series.
Is he out now?
He's out for the rest of the World Series, and as is Scherzer. But Scherzer being out is actually a benefit to the Rangers. No offense, Tick, but Scherzer, he's a train wreck. Guy's a train wreck. He's done. He's done.
I don't think he's been good for most of the year, to be honest. On the other side of the ball, Corbin Carroll, for a rookie, I think has been one of the MVPs of the play. This guy has been freaking amazing. And you know what? I'll leave on this note. Whatever happens, Major League Baseball in the playoffs is so enjoyable to watch. Every game, every out, every strike means so much. And like, I mean, you're seeing it. Teams that you did not expect to be there, like the Diamondbacks, were a wild card team, and they're in the World Series. So I think that like baseball's just got to try to translate the energy and the intensity that the playoffs have to the regular season. I think they got to shorten the regular season up, but I've really enjoyed watching baseball this postseason. I don't know about you guys.
No, I mean, I definitely did. And I thought it was great, but honestly, once the Phillies got knocked out, my interest level, I got to be honest, plummeted. It plummeted without the Phillies there. I have no interest in watching the Diamondbacks. It's no offense to any of the players on the Diamondbacks. It's no offense to any Diamondback fans. I just thought the Phillies were the fairy tale team. I love the energy that they had. I love the swag that they were putting out. I thought what they had going on in their own ballpark for their home games was one of the coolest things that I've seen in a long time in sports. It was awesome. And you know, I lost some interest. I think I would have more interest also if the Astros were playing. And why is that? Because I'd be rooting vehemently against them. When the Rangers finished them off, I was extremely happy about that because I despise that team. I despise Jose Altuve. I despise Bregman. I just don't like them at all. I haven't liked them since basically the Yankees 2017 ALCS against them. They are the thorn in the side of the Yankees. Reminds me a little bit of the Angels pre-Yankees 2009 World Series. Very similar. They couldn't get over the Angels hump. They couldn't get over the Angels hump. They're aggravating to that end. I just personally lost interest. Have I watched the World Series? Yes. Will I watch it continually? Yes. I believe the Rangers are up big right now because I saw somebody. Yeah. Okay. So it looks like the Rangers may go up 3-1 and win 10 straight road games, which would be, it already is an MLB postseason record for most consecutive road wins at 9.
Unbelievable.
And now it may be 10, which is an incredible feat by the Rangers. They deserve to win it. I hope that injury to Garcia doesn't end up being a reason why they lose it. So I'll be rooting for the Rangers. I'll root for the AL team. But yeah, when Tix Phils got knocked out, that was pretty much the end for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a quick tip to make it interesting is just put a bet on it, no matter the size. I could give a flying shit about this World Series, but I've had a couple bets on game one and game two. And I tell you what, we were in Austin. We were out at a cool bar. We were hanging out. We were having a lot of fun. My eyes were glued to the TV, and Joey D was right there with me in the jet. Our eyes were, we could give a shit what was going on around us. Our eyes were glued to that fucking TV, and it was the most interesting game in the world at that moment. And so
game one was legendary.
It was amazing.
Corey Seager was unbelievable. And Jet ended up. Yeah. So anyway, so just do that. But it, you know, going back to the Phils, I mean, the Phillies are a good example of what I'm talking about. Not to take it to the Eagles, but I will. Of a team that it's not fun to go that far and lose. And I understand having a team that never even makes the playoffs. I get that. But you know what? I swear to God, I would rather not make the playoffs and focus on rebuilding than getting a team that's to that point, but not quite good enough. Not quite good enough. Another team's fairy tale story, this time the Arizona Diamondbacks, is stronger and better than yours. And that's what happened this year. And that's all I've ever been saying about the Eagles, too, is we're very good. We'll probably get to the NFC Championship game, but I fear we're going to do exactly what the Phillies did, and we'll lose, and they'll break our hearts again. They'll build us up. So it's very fun to get there. It's a privilege and an honor, but it's such a shame, man. It breaks your heart every year, and the Phillies.
The Phillies should have won that series.
Yeah, I really.
There were some big management decisions putting Kimbrel.
Kimbrel is the biggest.
Yeah.
I don't want to say
that guy's got to go.
He blew it for us. He
two games in a row, and he let them back in the series,
and
man.
Bob Thompson kept going to him. And you know, on one
hand, he did close out a couple big ones in the ALDS.
On one hand, you're showing faith to your guys and your team, and he got you there. You got to ride that hand.
Yeah.
And I get that. On the other hand, he blew a huge game for you. Are you going to put him in again?
They did.
And he went with the right hand. He went with this one. He put him in again, and he banged us.
I was upset. I thought the Phillies were going to – forget about the ALCS. I really honestly – if you had asked me, I would have, and I did put a future. I really thought the Phillies were going to win the whole thing. I really just felt like when they were doing their post-game interviews and these guys just look so locked in, you know, everybody, Harper, and Castellanos, and these guys just looked so locked in every time, and it was just disappointing. It sucked. I really wanted them to win. I really did.
You texted me a few earlier, and you were like, "This is the team of destiny." I'm throwing it right now.
Yeah, I really,
and I believe it too. And you know what? It's hard to fault anyone in the. You know, I know a lot of people say, you know, Castellanos went 0-for-20 his last 21, and Bryce Harper that last at bat he flew out. It's like these guys all did so much just to get us there.
Baseball is so fucked on the pitching. Up, though, man. Like baseball is so fucked up. Like you cannot hop on a hitter when like you're gonna hop on Harper because he flew out. Well, right. How about all the other shit? Baseball, you're failing 70% of the time and you're a great player. 70% of the time as a hitter, and you're a great player.
You're Hall of Fame, Mikey.
Nobody hits 300 anymore. So
Ichiro did.
Yeah,
right.
I'm saying nobody fucking bats 300 anymore, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, these guys, they fail. If you fail 74% of the time, you're a really good player. So it's like, you know, odds are you're not going to hit the game-winning home run every time. In fact, you're not going to hit it, you know, you're not going to hit it two times out of four. You're going to hit once out of four if you're great. You know, if you're great, you'll hit it once out of four. So that's just baseball. You know, baseball's different animal.
Yeah, we'll move on here. The last thing I'll say is I don't understand. This is a conversation for another day. This is a longer conversation, but I don't understand how the drop off from like when I was growing up in 2000, you know, there were guys who plenty of guys in the league hitting 300 and above. You probably have 70 to 80 guys in the league hitting 300 and above. Now you are one of the best in the league if you're betting 283.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I guess pitchers got better. They're throwing harder, but it was a steep drop off. And all of a sudden, the 2007
guys are all hitting. Guys are all trying to hit home runs.
That's what it is.
There's no bunting. There's no small ball. It's all about big hacks and just the strikeouts alone. I mean, just look at how much these guys strike out. I mean, if you compare some of these old players, their strikeout ratio to hit. I mean, it's astounding. Like these guys didn't strike out as much in their career as some of these guys strike out in two seasons. It's insane.
All right, well, let's move on. I mean, there's been big news in basketball. James Harden got traded to the Clippers, but I say we just move past that. I think we just jump into NFL, unless you guys are dying to talk about it. Joey,
No, but I do think quickly before we jump into the NFL, there's a couple of big trades today. Notably, Chase Young going to the Niners. You want to talk about maybe the scariest defensive line now with Bosa and Young. I mean, it's going to be
2019 Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oh my God, man.
United and it feels so good.
Dude, crazy. Also, Dubs went to the Vikings. I don't think that's going to change much.
Who?
Pittman.
Oh, Dobbs. Oh,
yeah, Dobbs went to the Vikings. Yep. I really don't think that changes much.
Montez Sweat to the Bears.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Packers got rid of pretty much our only healthy good corner right now in Rasul Douglas.
Yeah.
This team is, I'm telling you right now, this team is literally, they're mailing it in. That's it. The season's over, man. They look like one of the worst teams, like, by far in the NFL right now, and sad to see, but you must be excited to get a top tier player like Montez Sweat for what, a second round pick,
a second round pick. A lot of blowback from a lot of Bears fans who are total idiots, just putting it kindly. Chicago's fan base is impossible to please. If there's anybody that bitches about the team more than me, I mean, I'd like to meet him. I call it exactly as I see it. Nobody rips that team and organization more than I do on a regular basis. But here's the deal. If you watched Sunday Night Football, and we'll go into Bears Chargers, let's just take care of that. If you watched Bears Chargers on Sunday night, Justin Herbert could have made chicken cordon bleu in the pocket. Yeah, that's how much time the Bears pass rush was giving him. Everyone and their mother on Twitter, every Bears pundit, every Bears fan bitching about how there was no pressure on the quarterback. What does Ryan Poles do before the deadline? He trades away a second round pick. Granted, the man still has two first round picks available at his disposal. That's the current number two and number three overall pick in the draft. He trades a second round pick for the highest rated defensive end against the run in the league. And a defensive end that just turned 27, 35 and a half career sacks, who's one of only five edge rushers that have recorded at least five sacks since they were drafted every single season. He's a dominant player, Montez Sweat. He's instantly going to upgrade the trenches. Every Bears fan that has a brain recognizes that the trenches are where the Bears' core problems start and finish. He just did something to vastly improve one side. You can't do it all in one shot. What do you think a player like that is going to cost? People saying, well, he's in a contract year. Why would you ever do that? You're not in win now mode. Here's what I'll say. If the Bears don't extend him in the very near future and make him a 4 or 5 year player on the team and do a deal like that in the very near future, then this was a very stupid move. They have to extend him and they got to pay him. They have the money to pay him. That's got to get done quickly. If they don't do that, it's a failure. If they do do that, it's a home run. Cause you're guaranteed in the second round to get a pass rusher like Montez Sweat. You're not.
You had talked about trees. You had talked about, I think it was the last episode or two episodes. You said, I want to win in the trenches. You talked about it.
Yes.
You said that you wanted to get offensive and defensive
linemen. I want to be like the Eagles and the 49ers. I want to be built from the front back. I want a ferocious D-line and a ferocious O-line. That's what I want. That's how you win. That's the formula for success in the NFL. You see what happens when quarterbacks who are the best quarterbacks on the planet, when their line doesn't block, it doesn't fucking matter. Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. It didn't matter because both his starting tackles were out of that game and there was nothing he could do. Patrick Mahomes against Denver, guys couldn't block. There was nothing he could do. Aaron Rodgers only played one series, but in the preseason and the plays preceding the play when he blew out his Achilles, nothing he could do with the Jets at the time because their O-line was so banged up. That's what happens. This is the NFL. You have to block. I don't care how good of a quarterback you are. And vice versa, if you don't get pressure on the opposing team's passer, they will pick you apart because they're an NFL quarterback. It starts up front. Build it. Dump all the assets in there. The rest is window dressing. You could get the rest of the shit when you're built up front. So I don't mind it at all. At all.
All right. Well, Mikey doesn't mind it at all. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, you kind of touched on the Chargers Bears already. That was a travesty. I'm not even sure I was going to go there, but I'm glad you touched on
it. No, it's fine. I mean, it was expected.
Yeah. Let's move on to a shocking game. We were all suspicious of the line, and Vegas was right. The Denver Broncos took care of against the Kansas City Chiefs, man. And we had a party bet going, and we just kept waiting and waiting and waiting for the Chiefs to make their move. We thought they'd come back at the very least. Maybe they wouldn't cover, but they'd still win the game like they normally do. But the Broncos just locked them down, man. They made them look silly. Mikey V, what'd you see there, huh?
You know, took the under in that game, gave out the under as one of my plays. I really thought the under would be good, but I honestly thought it would have been topsy-turvy. I thought that it would have been similar score line, but the Chiefs with the one score and the Broncos with the other. The Broncos completely flipped the script on the Chiefs. The Broncos played good defense. The Broncos made plays when they had to make plays. Russell Wilson was good, and Patrick Mahomes was not. And that's just being completely honest. Kelce was not the Kelce of norm. He was at a World Series game 2 days before, which, I mean, Shannon Sharp blew him up on ESPN First Take or whatever show the fuck he's on, FS1, whatever he's on. He blew him up for that and said, you know, there's no way you should be there 2 days before a game. I don't know. I'm not going to buy into all that. But it just looked like one team was really prepared and the other team kind of just thought they were going to walk in there and just get an easy W. And Mile High, Denver, Colorado, it's just never an easy place to win. As Joe's Packers, you know, experienced the week before, it's not a guaranteed win against them in Mile High. It's just not. It's a tough place to play to begin with. It's a divisional rival, secondly. And then, you know, it's just one of those things. Maybe, you know, Denver has some good players on that team. Sutton's a really good player. Jerry Jeudy, if his head's screwed on straight, is a really good player. Javonte Williams, a good player. Pat Surtain is one of the best corners in football. So, you know, it's not like they don't have talent. Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I understand how washed he's looked of late. I've been a critic of his. But the bottom line is these are some of the top players at their positions. And in any given Sunday, if they're going to show up and you're not, and you're going to be unprepared, this is what's going to happen. By the way, Kansas City, these receivers, the case of the dropsies again, guys dropping the ball all over the place. And Patrick Mahomes has to be very frustrated because for the first time in his career, it really looks like he's got guys who really aren't built to support the kind of talent that he has. I think their running backs are better. I just think that their pass catchers just aren't good. They're just not good. Other than Kelce, they're not good.
Two things I would take away from this game. The first thing is the time of possession. Denver dominated the time of possession. They had the running game going. They played their game, and they made Kansas City play their game. And then the other thing I would say on the other side of the ball is Mahomes didn't have a second to throw the ball. He was getting blitzed. He was getting bombarded. It caused multiple turnovers. And Denver, for as hard as we've been on them, It's weird because Sean Payton, maybe he's starting to get through to these guys. Maybe it took some time. You look at Russell Wilson, and we've trashed him. He's got 100 QB rating on the year. He's looking half decent. Do we have a little bit? Do we have a cameo appearance tonight?
Wow. Oh, Mr. Perez.
Wow. Look at the Miami Vice look, too. Look at fresh.
With that wallpaper in the backdrop, that is just different. That's just different. Nice, isn't
it? That's hang that thing from the Louvre, that screenshot. Wow. Welcome aboard, Perez. It's been a while.
Yeah, I laid down there for a second. That was a minute, Perez.
Are you here to talk Bills, or are you here to stick around for the whole thing?
Oh,
yeah, no, I mean, I can hang out for a little bit. I mean, I could think of some other weeks I'd rather talk about the Buffalo Bills than this week, but here we are.
They won.
Yeah.
We were just finishing up on the Kansas City Chiefs and the Broncos, and we'll go to the Bills next. But Joey, your finishing thoughts there on the Chiefs and the Broncos?
I just think, Kansas City is still going to – this is where Mikey was right with the NFL and the college comparison is you could drop a game like this in the NFL and the Chiefs are still going to be fine. Exactly. In college football, you'll lose a game like that, all of a sudden your whole season's done. So, it was definitely a letdown game for the Chiefs. But I think the Broncos, man, they're trending upwards. And if Sean Payton could get this team playing like that and if they could get Javonte Williams running the ball, it opens up space for Russell. And he actually looked pretty competent last game. They could start winning some games, dude. They could be a playoff team if they can figure it out. But big letdown by the Chiefs, man. I mean, that's an understatement.
It sure was. Perez, anything to say about Mahomes, or you wanted to go right on to the Bills?
He banged him.
he did bang me, but to be fair, as you guys well know, I was upstairs taking a nap during the afternoon slate. So for me to add any sort of commentary on the late slate of games would be a one man just sitting lying to you on the internet, and I simply won't do that. Judging by the noise that was coming in my interrupted naps, Joe also got banged by Mahomes.
I actually didn't have that game, shockingly enough. I think Jet had it big. Jet had that game big.
Jet did. Maybe it was Jet.
Jet screaming.
The Chiefs are just such a dangerous team to take with big spreads because they just never cover them. They just never do.
Vegas is laughing because the game before they covered against the Chargers. That's and they fine. Probably shouldn't. So everybody and their mother who probably said the same thing as we did, Mikey, were like, well, we can't go against them. They just covered last week and they got banked.
It's not even a big spread, right? So it's the same shit that Vegas does every week. It says it just dares you. It's just like the obvious play. Anything that's like obvious, of course, the Chiefs are going to beat the Broncos by a touchdown or more. Like, of course that's going to happen. On what planet do they not win this game by 3 scores? And that's the planet we live on. And Vegas keeps adding additions to their casinos.
Yes. Yep.
On the back of my dollar.
All right. Well, now that we've nailed Vegas to the wall, we figured that all out. Let's move on to that Thursday night game. Let's go to Bucks, Bills. Bucks made it interesting at the end for no other reason than to ruin the spread. But
bang my pick of the week.
Yeah, they did. They did. But the Bills came out on top. Josh Allen, is he back? We'll leave that up to Mr. Perez. Perez, what'd you see there?
It's just not between this week and last week and really the last few weeks. It's just not. This is what I've come to get used to with the Bills kind of in the mid-season, mid-early season. They look really good. Got a lot of hype in the beginning of the year. The offense is dialing. The defense is always there. And then there just seems to be this sort of, you know, hiccup in the middle of the season where you lose a game like last week to the Patriots and then really just far too close of a game to a team like the Bucs, where you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFL and certainly the AFC. So it's, you know, some wins are more exciting than others. And some of them, you know, I guess that's a good place to be as a fan base, right? Where you're kind of critiquing wins for a long time with this team. I'd be happy with anything. It's certainly not, it's not one of those weeks you come out with a W and feel like you're headed in the right direction. But you know, what do I know?
People want to know what you know, Perez.
Yeah, we all.
That's
did.
What I know. That's all I know, and I might not even know that.
Mike, you want to take it from there? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jaguars, Giants, Patriots, Bucks. This is just a Bills team to me that they're good, but they're not killers yet. Like, Josh is not in kill mode yet. And that's what I think Buffalo fans, and Perez can attest to it more than anyone in here. I think that's what Buffalo fans are expecting and waiting for. Like, when is it going to be that game, like, where they play a good team or middle of the road to good team in the NFL? Because there's really not too many great teams, but a good team in the NFL, and they just he dials in the kill shot and just beats them up and does all those, you know, the touchdown passes to Diggs, and they run a couple in with Josh, and then they hit Kincaid or Knox for a touchdown over the middle, you know, and they cooked early. They were cooking early.
They did that
early.
To Miami.
You get games like Miami where you're like, there we go.
Yep. And Miami, well, that was going to be my next point. No matter what, if you're a Bills fan, you still have to feel very good, because that division is the Bills for the taking, because the Jets are still going to be wildly inconsistent because of the quarterback play. The Dolphins don't play any semblance of defense that's recognizable on this planet. So they have the advantage there. And then the Patriot game is an outlier. Divisional games on the road, as Kansas City learned this week, that could just happen. That could just fucking happen. No matter how good you are, no matter how bad the other team may be, how bad down they may be, in divisional games in the NFL on the road, that can just happen. So I think Bills fans could take solace in that and not be too concerned. But I think it's just a matter of waiting for Josh to go into kill mode and just start really putting teams away. I think that's what the Bills got to do. Fourth quarter, you know, 5 minutes in, kill shot, put the team away, and just have that fourth quarter where there's, you know, no worries whatsoever. I think it'll come. I just think they're still working through some things. And I think Perez is right. I think, you know, they hit that kind of like toward mid-season lull. That's all. And I'm not concerned about it. I think they'll improve. They just got Leonard Fournette, speaking of a free agent signing. Yeah. Maybe they're intending to run the ball a little bit more, play off Lenny. We all know how he is late in the season, typically a good player. So it'll be interesting moving forward, but rest your hat on the defense and hoping that Josh will get the kill shots in pretty soon. And I think he will. I think he will.
Beautiful. Perez, you want to stick around? You stick around with us? You want to have some fun? Yeah.
I mean, if you'll have me, I'll hang out.
Oh, you're always welcome.
We'll have you every week if you want.
So you can imagine I've got nothing going on.
Beautiful. That's what we love to hear. Moving on. We're going to move on to the Vikings-Packers game. Probably not for what you think. Not necessarily to go over the Packers, but more because Kirk Cousins got injured this week and they bring in Josh Dobbs. Is that going to make the Vikings better? Are they worse for not having Kirk Cousins? I'm not the guy to tell you, but Joey D certainly is. Joey D, what do you think? What do you make of the Vikings right now after beating your Packers?
The Vikings have quietly won four straight games. I mean, it's like you had to expect that they were going to make a play to get a quarterback in. Unfortunately for them, there just really isn't a huge depth of talent available right now. And I think with Dobbs, they got a guy that they can temporarily fill the void, but you still got Justin Jefferson out. There's still some question marks on the defensive side of the ball. Listen, my Packers stink. There is no question about it at this point. They're not a good team. They're not a first half team. They don't play a full four quarters of football. And towards the end, they actually look like they might come back, as they always do, and play in the fourth quarter. But I don't think the Vikings, with Kirk Cousins going down now, I really don't know if they have what it takes to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be like a 500 team, which might get them to close to a third, you know, wild card spot. But this team's got some serious issues to take. And then now with Kirk Cousins getting hurt like that, now they got to think more so on the future. Like, what are they going to do moving forward? Like, what is the play there? There's some big question marks. I think if you have Justin Jefferson at this point of the season, you just rest him as long as possible. There's no reason to rush him back. That's my opinion. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't have high hopes for the Vikings for the rest of the year. I mean, listen, they're a decent team, but Cousins going down, I think that just kind of ends the season for them.
Mikey?
Yeah, the Vikings, you know, I'm upset. I had them as my future play to win the NFC North this year, and I thought they were about to start to go on the roll, on the run in the role I was expecting them to before Cousins went down, obviously. Now that Cousins is down, Dobbs is not going to replace Cousins. Cousins was on a tear. He was quietly one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He was playing incredible football at a very high level. He shoved the primetime Kirk label up everyone's ass on the Monday night game against San Francisco. Against all odds, I certainly didn't think that was going to happen. Jordan Addison had his opportunity with Jefferson out to showcase his skill set as a number one, and he blossomed into what appears to be just as comparable of a number one wide receiver as any in the league, beneath the top tier guys. It's a shame. It's a shame. Minnesota, I thought, was going to really make a run at Detroit. I do. And Detroit, you know, Detroit got waxed by Baltimore. They kind of looked okay against the Raiders last night, but they also kind of didn't finish drives off at all. And they gave the Raiders a lot of chances they shouldn't have. So, you know, I really thought this was a spot for the Vikings to kind of make a move for this division. But now this is a devastating, devastating situation for Minnesota. Devastating. There is no coming back from this without Kirk. Dobbs is a nice player. He's not Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a different level of quarterback than Josh Dobbs. So, yeah, I unfortunately, I do think it's over for Minnesota as well this year. I do.
All right. Well, let's move on to one more recap of the week, and then we'll move into next week. I know we're not going to do 2 hours like we've been doing. So let's just go over one more game. I'm interested in getting Perez's take on the Eagles overall, but certainly coming off the Commanders game where it was close the whole goddamn game, man. And they ended up winning by a touchdown. But Perez,
they pushed.
They did push. They pushed. But Perez, what do you make of the Eagles, and what do you make of that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think you take it. You may have said this a few weeks ago on this here podcast that you were not feeling too comfortable as an Eagles fan at the moment with a lot of wins under your belt, because, you know, I'm going to give you the credit. I think you might have seen a little bit of this coming. They're not. I think it's a little bit of the same thing Mikey alludes to with the Bills, as far as not kind of being in that momentum that we've seen at the end of at least last season or the last couple of years. I mean, the Commanders are not a good team. I think the Commanders know they're not a good team. That's why they gave up a boatload of their players today. So to play a team like that, to get down early like that, it's just they're not. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just not firing all cylinders, maybe going through the motions a little bit. I mean, this is a team that has Super Bowl plans, aspirations, Super Bowl or bust, or at least getting to the Super Bowl, playing for the Super Bowl is what the Eagles are coming into this season and looking like for the beginning of the season. And it's just, you know, I mean, it's a long season. The NFL's, you know, it's a long thing, and it's hard to be the best team in the league and on the field for 17 weeks or whatever it is, and then getting into the playoffs and keeping that going. So, you know, I think it's normal. I think when you have these games that you're not playing your best, but you still get a win, you still push on a spread, you know, that's a sign of a team that's still not playing their best, but getting the job done. So I think they have so much talent on both sides of the ball that it's just a matter of time before they kind of get back into that rhythm.
AJ Brown looks like one of the best players in the league right now, man.
He sure does. He
what a steal. What are the Titans doing, man? The Titans just getting rid of – I mean, it's just – they gifted
him. He would have rotted away in Tennessee, man. They you know, going from Tannehill to Malik to – you know, they don't even – like, he would just be there pass blocking like he'd been doing for years. And he shouldn't – he's exactly where he should be. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You happy, Tick?
Am I happy?
Yeah.
I'm happy at the record. I'm not happy. I think Perez said it exactly right. I don't think they've reached into that killer mode yet, but
what concerns me is Sam Howell's numbers in this game. Sam Howell, I mean, I forget what his final stat line, 4 touchdowns. I think he only threw like 10 incompletions and he threw the ball almost 50 times. Sam Howell had a devastating game. I mean, he was not good. He was great. He was great on Sunday, which concerns me a little bit with the Eagles' back end of that defense. And I know, Ticket, we've been talking about that secondary since the season started, and that's kind of where the concerns lie with that defense. I don't know what it is, because to me, they should be getting a lot more pressure on the quarterback and not, I mean, especially the Commanders had the worst pass protection offensive line giving up sacks in the league.
Sure do.
And with Jalen Carter and the guys that they have in up the middle there, including their pass rushers, I just would have thought that this would have been a game where really they would have made Howell look bad. And he looked so good. That's the concerning part for me. But again, I'll say that the Eagles to me right now, as of today, they're the best team in the NFL still. In my opinion, I think they are the best team in the NFL as of today. I think they're favored against any team they play. If you have to put a line on it, I think they're the favorite at a neutral field against any team in the NFL today. That could change, obviously, week to week. But as of today, I still think they're the best ticket. And I think that just a matter of figuring things out. And that's what the season's for, really, is trying to iron out all these kinks and trying to figure out what is the best new version of the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the 2023 Eagles. It's not going to be the same as 2022. They have to figure out what's the difference and where they can make the adjustments to be better.
Yeah, and when Byard gets a little more comfortable in that defense,
I agree with that too.
Helping the secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it with the boys here. I don't have much to say about them. Let's move on to the next week. I know we're sort of short on time, so we won't go through every single game. If I miss one, you guys let me know, but I'll pick and choose some of the better-looking games that I see. We'll start with the Thursday night game. Titans are heading to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored at home by 2.5 points. Mikey, what do you like there?
All right, so this is a weird game. This is a weird spread. I would not take this. I don't believe I would stick to trying to find something other than the spread here. Pittsburgh is not good. Pittsburgh is wildly inconsistent. They are saying that Pickett's going to play. Not sure it matters if Pickett plays. Here's the thing. Levis, coming off the performance that he had, I think that's going to be so overhyped. I could see Levis throwing up a total fucking clunker on Thursday night. I could just see him going out there and just looking like what people thought he was going to look like Sunday before he went nuclear with DeAndre Hopkins. Pittsburgh at home, short week, that defense, that crowd against a rookie quarterback, that concerns me if I'm a Titans fan. It just does. So I'll take Pittsburgh against all, you know, better judgment because we have to for the show, but give me Pittsburgh minus the 2.5 at home, short week. I'll go chalk there just because I just expect Levis to have a comeback down to earth week this week.
Joey D?
I think Pittsburgh at home on a primetime game. Defense has won them a couple games already, and Tennessee's offense hasn't shown me too much to be scared of. Obviously, Hopkins had a big game last week, Levis going to face a good defense this week. I would also go with the Steelers. I think that's the safe play. Now, are you sure Pickett's playing, Mikey? Is that confirmed?
He said he's playing. He said he's going to play.
I was looking this morning, it had actually the projections, at least in fantasy, looked like Trubisky was going to get the nod, but I guess.
Yeah, I saw the it was later in the day when I saw the tweet that he said he was going to play. So I don't know. We'll see.
As you said, it might not matter.
No, may not.
FP, who do you like?
Do you got a pick though, Joe?
I said
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Pittsburgh.
Okay. FP.
Yeah, I think the same for all those reasons. I think sometimes it's tough for a rookie quarterback to get some confidence that Levis has. I think he might get a little false confidence and start pushing the ball a little bit in a primetime game in Pittsburgh, which is never a good thing. So
Tick, you going Pittsburgh as well?
No, I'm going to go against the grain here, and people know to fake it at this point, but I'm going to go against the grain. I think Will Levis, wow, what a performance. Do I expect the same thing? No, but I think more of what the problem is with the Titans is their defense. But I think they're going to come out firing. I think it's going to be sort of I think Kenny Pickett versus Will Levis will end up being a pretty good game. I think it's going to be somewhere near a 31-28 kind of game, and I expect the Titans to get it done. I like.
Really? You think there's going to be that many points?
I kind of do. Yeah. Really? It's going to be a shootout. I do. Okay. I do.
I think that's going to be an under. What's the number right now?
It's 36 and a half.
I was going to say it's got to be the
under with 36 and a half?
No, because that's just so low that I wouldn't fuck with it. But I do like not a lot of points to be scored. I'm not saying to go under that because that's like a that's like a really low.
That's number. Limbo low.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if that was anywhere near like 41, 42, I'd say, yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah. I mean, and the Steelers defense is, I mean, it's a far cry from Atlanta. I mean, I understand that, but I'm going to bet on the kid. I'm going to bet on that offense right now. I like them picking up a little bit of steam heat, even though they're going to Pittsburgh. I'll go against the grain there. All right, moving on. We got the Cowboys playing the Eagles. Eagles, they're in Philadelphia. Eagles are a 3-point favorite.
Wow.
Perez, we'll start with you on this one. Are the Cowboys the real deal, and who do you like in that game?
No, I don't think they are yet, or at least they haven't shown me that they are yet. I think they've had some great games, more on the defensive side of the ball. They look pretty good this past week. Made me a wealthy man.
God bless.
But I like the Eagles at home. I really do. I think that this is the most 4:25 p.m. Fox game
it's classic.
It really is. NFC East. I want the robot guy throwing down the Fox breaking the cement. That's what this game is. And to me, I think the Eagles show up, and I think they get the job done.
Yeah, all right, Joe.
I like the Eagles a lot this week at home. Dak Prescott's got to show me something on the road, man. He's got to show me something against a contending team, against a team that can actually score points and be a juggernaut. I'm taking the Eagles. I think that's a play.
Yeah, here's the issue with Dallas right now. Tony Pollard looks like he's completely washed, which is mind melting considering how great he looked last year before his injury. You can't run the ball anyway against Philly. Nobody does. You can't do it. For that reason, the pressure that's going to be on Dak, again, a big pressure spot kind of a game. Much like Perez says, I just think that Dallas has to prove it to me first, that they could win a game against a good team on the road. I love Dallas last week by almost a touchdown against the Rams because I think so lowly of the Rams. And I've been saying that all year, and people will argue with me, I just think the Rams suck. I think they suck. And Dallas, that was a perfect spot for them at home to wipe the floor with a team that's just not good. Stafford threw the pick six, by the way, Ticket. I said he'd throw a pick six.
He did.
Threw the pick six. I like Philly this week because of the fact that Dallas won't be able to run the ball, and because I want them to prove it to me first. I need to see them before I'm going to pick them against a team like Philly on the road.
Yeah. I mean, these NFC East games are always, they're always dogfights. They're always close regardless of how good a team is and how good a team isn't. I expect this to be a close game. If it was any more than three, I would consider taking the Cowboys. I do think it's going to be within a touchdown. I think it's going to be a very tight game.
It'll probably be a push.
It might be a push. But I'm going to roll with the Eagles, especially at home. But yeah, it's going to be a dogfight, man. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys pulled up an upset, man. We've seen both these Commanders games. I mean, they're not a good team, and they took them to the wire. So moving on, we've got the Dolphins heading to Kansas City, going to Arrowhead. Kansas City is a 2.5-point favorite.
Another great game.
Let's start with you, that game's in Germany, isn't it?
It's in Frankfurt.
That game is in Frankfurt, yep. Mercedes.
That's the best game that the overseas fan base might ever seen from the NFL.
Is I think it's the first time they've ever played in Germany, too.
Watch it be a total clunker. Watch it be like 17-7 or something totally awful. Watch.
Is it the very first game in Germany? Is it number one?
I don't know about that because they had, what, NFL Europe in Germany?
They played in Wembley every time, and I know that they played in Mexico, but I don't think they've ever had a game in Frankfurt.
Huh. All right.
I could be wrong.
Regardless, they're playing there this weekend. Joey D, who do you like in that game?
I like the Chiefs for the single reason that the Dolphins defense can't stop a nosebleed. Now, Jalen Ramsey was back this week and made a big time interception, almost took a pick six. But Mahomes is the kind of guy where if they have a clunker week, it's so rare that he comes back and has back to back bad games.
He had the flu, by the way.
You're getting them.
Yeah, the flu.
You're going to get the Chiefs at a point where, I mean, this is a low spread, 2.5. They got to win by a field goal. I think if they win this game, they're going to start going, the spreads are going to start going high again. I think if you could get the Chiefs at a low spread like this, a field goal game, I'd like them to come back. I think Kelce will be back and have a big game. I think Mahomes will really push the envelope. And again, Miami, they have a great offense, but their defense just allows points. And I my gut just says that if you could get the Chiefs at 2.5, take the Chiefs at 2.5. That's what I'm going to go with.
All right. Perez, what do you like?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Miami is just on defense. They're tough. And Kansas City rarely, like Joe says, has two back-to-back bad weeks. And I think if you're going to just have these two offenses go up against each other, I think the smart money, 9 out of 10 times you take the Chiefs here, that they've proved it. I also like Andy Reid taking his players overseas. McDaniel's kind of a loosey-goosey kind of guy. And I don't know him. I don't know either of them. But I like an Andy Reid team with this kind of travel.
A good point, FP.
McDaniel's getting his players ready for a weird game.
Mikey?
Well, little known fact that Jalen Waddle is actually German, and his last name is pronounced Waddle. It's Waddle, not Waddle. Now, Joey D could tell you about that, as he knows is the Weber company. The Weber Grill company is based out of Germany.
Weber!
To Joey, it's a Weber Grill. It's Jalen Waddle. No, I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins money line to win this game outright. That's going to be my pick. Why do I say that? I think that Jalen Ramsey, from what I saw in 1 week, the difference, maybe not in the performance overall of the defense, but I just saw a defense that actually looked a little motivated to play on that side of the ball. They looked like they actually had some like pep in their step, some juice,
swaggy,
some fire in their belly. Yes.
A little swaggy.
And that's what Jalen Ramsey will bring to the table. It is. Now, I would like to see if Xavien Howard's going to play, and then you got both your stud cover corners playing, which would be big because, as I've said, I don't think the pass catchers on the Chiefs are any good outside of the tight ends, and that includes Kelce's backup, who I think is better than some of the wide receivers on the team. I don't know why, but I just like Miami in this spot. I do, and I guess I'll go against the grain here, and I'll take the Dolphins money line to win outright this week.
Okay. Man, regardless of the flu, Patrick Mahomes has, when he played that game against the Jets, he was just lobbing up some lackadaisical throws and he just didn't look like him. And he did it again this past weekend. And I'm starting to wonder if something's up with him, if his heart, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's making throws that are not to his character. He doesn't look right. I mean, I guess to bring
Taylor
back
Taylor Swift, likely not going to be there.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But it's not even on Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift. It's on Patrick Mahomes. He's throwing some weird passes this year. And then it gives you glimpses of the old Patrick Mahomes that you're like, oh, fuck, is he back? So I'm very weary of them, but I think FP makes a really good point. I like Andy Reid to bring
I those. Love that point. Yeah, I do love that point because McDaniels point. Is clownish, which
correct.
Like I like do, McDaniels, to be
so
honest.
So do with, I. So
I like him a
you
lot.
You make a very good point. You're getting these guys who are fucking, half of them are insane, these guys that play in the NFL. Yeah. And you're going to put them out in Germany. God knows, what could Tyreek Hill get into in Germany, you know, two nights before this game? God only knows, and McDaniels is probably going to encourage it. So I do love that point. That was a great, great point by FP.
There you go. Your point was validated by Mikey V. How do you feel about that, Fat
Boy? I'm just saying, I thought it was a great point. I really did think it was
a great point. Too. And that's what's going to lead me. I'm going, everything in my fiber is telling me that something ain't right with them. Take the Dolphins. But for that point, I think I'm going to take the Chiefs. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, I'm taking the Chiefs. With me, dog. All right.
I wouldn't be surprised, Mikey. All right, moving on. We're going to Seahawks playing in Baltimore. Baltimore is a 5.5.
Wow, that's another good game. This is another good game.
5.5 favored for the Ravens, Seahawks, Ravens in Baltimore. Mikey V, who do you like there?
Man, that just feels like too many points for a Baltimore team that just has been so wildly. Yes, they mopped the Lions. They did mop the Lions up. But the Lions, since David Montgomery went down, offensive line's a little dinged up. Jared Goff making some weird throws a little bit. That's too many points. I think that's too many points. Seattle's been playing some very good ball. Seattle just got Leonard Williams from the Giants. It's going to only improve them on the defensive side of the ball. I like the Seattle. Jackson Smith and Jigba last couple weeks, big time clutch touchdowns. Give me Seattle getting 5.5. I think that's too much lumber. I really do. If this number was 3.5, I'd go right. But 5.5, that's a lot of lumber. Give me the Hawks. Hawks are a good team right now.
They are. Joey D?
I like Kenneth Walker a lot, and I think there's good pieces on the offense of the Seattle, but Geno Smith sucks. I can't get on, and I have him in fantasy in my other league as my QB2. And every week it's like, this is the week Geno Smith goes off. And every week he just makes bad decisions and bad plays. He threw an interception in the end zone last week. I was like, what is he doing? 5.5 is a lot of points. I agree with you, Mikey. But I just think fundamentally the Ravens are a much better team. And Lamar is starting to put it together. I'm gonna take the Ravens with the points. Again, this is probably a game I would steer clear of. I don't think I would touch this game, but for the sake of us picking, I will go with the Ravens at 5.5.
FP?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, I don't know, Baltimore's kind of unpredictable which team's gonna show up. I mean, that game against the Lions was shocking. Probably both for the Lions' performance, but also for how the Ravens kind of ran up the score there. I think that we would have said that the Lions at that point were a better team than the Seahawks, right? So I'm gonna go with the Ravens here at home, and for no other reason than because they're at home. That's what I'm gonna go with.
What's the number in that game, Tick?
That one's 43.
Yeah, see, that's right. I think this is going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game, so that's right. That's right on the money. I hate Vegas so much. I really
getting cold.
I really do. I hate Vegas because that's right where it needs to be. That's really annoying.
Hey, man,
really annoying. Huge, but I tell you what, the Seahawks may be my play of the week. That's how much I like them.
Wow.
Yeah, it may be. I got to hear the rest, but I was
considering that myself, Mike, because I'm riding.
Really? Okay.
With the Seahawks. I was considering making that my play of the week, which means you shouldn't, because all I do is. So you shouldn't. But I'm riding with you on the Seahawks. Give me the 5.5 points. I just think it's too many. And I think people are overreacting after the Lions game. But moving on. We have the Colts heading to Carolina. I know it's a weak game, but Bryce Young getting that first win against CJ Stroud. I'm interested in watching the Panthers play. Indianapolis is a 2.5 point favorite in Carolina. FP, who do you like there?
You know, I'm just going to talk out of my ass on this one. I think I wouldn't listen to me on this one. I think I'll give Bryce Young a little momentum coming out of that game. I think that meant more than just getting his first win. I think that was a draft sort of stacking type of play, proving himself as the pick that he was. Anytime the Colts leave the dome and they're not like a very good team, I don't trust them, especially out of the division. I'll take Carolina. Take Carolina in the points.
Wow. Why the hell?
All right, Mikey, who do you like in that game?
Yeah, Carolina home dog again, back-to-back weeks. Certainly it was a good spot for them against the Texans, it looked like. Very weird the way that game went down. Colts, you know, I don't know. Well, Jonathan Taylor certainly looks like he's getting it going a little bit. Obviously I'm rooting for Carolina to lose out for the Bears to get that first round pick as high as possible. So I'm going to be rooting vehemently against Carolina, but yeah, I mean, as a home dog back-to-back weeks, I mean, it's tough to go against them after the win against the Texans, against a Colts team that I don't think is really anything special. I guess I'll go with Carolina, plus getting points at home as a dog. I guess I'll roll with that.
Joey D?
I love the Colts here. I think that Carolina is just a shitty team. And at the end of the day, like Press touched on it, that last game meant a lot. Going up, everybody, you know, obviously Bryce Young, number one pick overall coming out of the draft. Everybody's just been talking about CJ Stroud, how great
Stroud's been the better player.
100%. Yeah. But I'm saying, if you don't think that had some extra little oomph in Bryce Young's, you know, playbook when he's looking at that game coming into that, I think that win meant a lot to him. Obviously, it's his first win in the NFL, and it comes against a guy who, you know, he was going toe-to-toe with coming out of, you know, college, as potentially being the number one pick overall. The Colts, I think their running game is really, really good. I wish they would give the ball more to Taylor. They're really kind of going running back by committee with Zach Moss. And I think if they rode Taylor more, I think he's significantly a better back. That being said, Moss looks really good too. I think if they can lean on the running game, I think they can dominate possession. Carolina makes mistakes, and their defense is not that great. 2.5 points on the road. I'm not crazy about the Colts, but I think they can easily cover this game. I'm going to go with them for my pick.
Joey D low-key kind of likes the Colts.
I do.
Yeah, he does. He picks them every week.
I fucking love Minshew, man. And, you know,
I feel you. I don't hate
this
it.
Last week was the first week that they got, like, legitimately blown out. But I like the Colts, man. I there's something about that Colts team that I just want them to do well. It's maybe because I got Jonathan Taylor on my fantasy team. Maybe that's
probably
part of it.
Probably.
So probably. Do I.
Almost certainly what it is. Yeah.
Probably the sole reason why.
I feel you, Joey D. I'm going to take the Colts this week too. I think the Panthers team.
Ticket to mix the Colts every week too, by the way.
Well,
yeah. This is like a Colts podcast. It really is.
Well, Minshew was an Eagles guy, and he worked out all.
Minshew's great. I don't know how you don't like Minshew.
I don't like Minshew.
He makes a ton of mistakes, and he's not a good guy to bet on.
Listen, I'll be rooting vehemently for the Colts on Sunday. Vehemently.
Sure, me too, and that's why I'm taking them. All right, and let's move on to the Sunday night game. Going back to FP's Bills, the Bills are in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 2.5 point favorite.
Wow, that's another great game. This week is good. This week's stacked. On paper, there's a lot of good games this week. This is a great game.
FP, what do you like there?
Wow.
Yeah, this is tough. The Bengals, I feel like, finally maybe are getting a little bit of momentum. And as we talked about before, I don't see the killer. The Bills just are kind of in that middle of the season thing. you know, they're going to have to right the ship. And this is exactly the kind of game where they would come in and do that and change the whole narrative and the whole power rankings of these talking heads going into the week. You know, I feel like I've seen this before, and I think this is a, I think this is a big spot for Josh Allen. He loves primetime games. He loves Sunday night games. This is a big AFC matchup. There's probably going to be a little bit of emotion, I would think.
Definitely. Just
what happened.
DeMar Hamlin anniversary.
What happened. So, you know, I think as a Bills fan, I have to like the Bills here. You know, as a dog, I think I like him to win this game. I think I like a money line. I think this is the bounce back game, even with the Bengals having some momentum. I have to feel that way.
That's fair.
I understand that.
Yeah, the Bills, the Bengals, as good as they've looked in the turnaround here in the short term and what they did to San Fran, San Fran's on a slide right now. So I don't know how much stock I hold in that, but Burrow certainly looked a lot more accurate. I'm hoping that this is a good game between two great NFL quarterbacks, two of the best. And I think FP's right that Allen certainly takes spots like this very, very personally, it feels like. And against Burrow, who is the highest paid player in the league, I think that this is a spot where Allen's going to look to be that killer. Certainly should be that spot. Cincy's defense does not scare me. But Buffalo can play defense. So I think for that reason, I agree with FP that this is probably the bounce back spot for the Bills. This is probably the spot where people are going to fuck around and say Cincinnati has turned it around and Burrow. And while I think that's true, while I think Burrow has overcome the calf, and I think that's pretty much behind him now, and he's going to move forward and do extremely well. I still think that Buffalo has more defense in them to overcome this game and win this game, combined with the fact that Josh is going to play a little bit extra oomph. So I'll take the Bills, and I'll take a money line as well to win outright, 2.5. I don't need the 2.5. If I'm going to take them, I'll take a money line.
Jordy?
This is my game of the week, I think.
Wow. Now you know it's Bills.
It's between this game and it's between the Giants, which, by the way, that line is so absurd that the Raiders are favored in that game against the Giants. It's beyond me.
I mean, they're starting Tommy DeVito at quarterback.
Yeah, dude. Why is it so crazy?
Well, Daniel Jones might be back. Well, it's questionable. All right, I'm taking this.
That line will move. Yeah.
So back
I'm taking this as my game of the week.
Okay.
And I, much to my chagrin, I am taking the Cincinnati Bengals to cover.
Chagrin.
I am taking the Cincinnati. Listen, I hope this is the one week I hope that I am wrong with the game of the week. I hope.
Oh, you're taking the Bengals?
I am taking the Bengals.
Okay.
I really hope I'm wrong. Wow. What I saw last week from Joe Burrow, this young man is back. I don't know what maybe I'm reactionary. I called early on. I said, the Bengals are beating San Francisco straight out. I had the Bengals with the points.
Yes.
They look fucking awesome. And Joe Mixon is starting to get it going. And I know that San Francisco's on a slide, but that defense is still pretty good. At home, big night, prime time. Give me the Bengals. Was it 2.5 or is it 3?
2.5.
Yeah, I think they win by more than 3. I am really high on the Bengals, and I might look like an idiot after this podcast, but yeah, I would say the Bengals are going to win by like 4.
I love how when Joe gives his insight, sometimes he just turns into like Pat Summerall and he just talks like a 90-year-old man. He's like, this young man is all the way back, folks.
He looked phenomenal, and they're giving him time in the pocket.
He did. I already gave my take on it, but He did.
I hope I'm wrong.
After game
and
of the week.
And I will be rooting game for the Bills.
That's your game of the week, man. That's it. I like the balls on you, kid. I like that.
Week.
I think this is the exact opposite. I think this is when Josh goes into killer mode. I think this is when Josh locks in. I think all of the remaining golf that was left in him, play all of the major courses, I think this is where he really straps in, and we get to know the Josh that we've known of old. I like the Bills on the road here. I think they win by a touchdown. I think the Bills come in and absolutely prove to the whole league this exactly who they are. And moving on to our Monday night game, we have the Chargers at MetLife playing the Jets. The Chargers, are they back? Are they not? They are a 3-point favorite against the Jets. Mikey, who do you like there?
Yeah, the Jets are just, it's so hard to take the Jets because Zach Wilson is just, he makes some throws and he's got some balls. Sometimes you see him make some throws and you're like, wow, like that's, but for the most part, it's just very painful to watch the Jets operate offensively. On the flip side, it's very pleasing to watch the Chargers operate offensively when Herbert's got it going. Here's the thing. Herbert's not going to have the time in the pocket he had on Sunday night against Chicago. It's not even going to be close. The Jets are going to be on his ass. And you know what? The Jets are just a frisky team this year. They're very frisky. That's the best word I could use to describe the Jets this year. They're frisky. Since Rodgers has gone down, what's the number, Tick?
Three. The number on this game is 41 and a half.
No. I'm sorry. The spread. I'm sorry.
The spread is three.
Spread is three Chargers giving.
That's right.
Yeah, that line sucks. There's no question that line sucks dick. I would recommend that you buy a hook and take the Jets at +3.5 points. That would be my play in this game. We can't do that because we don't do buying points here.
You can do it, Mickey. You could fuck it. Do it. If that's
okay, then we can do it. I mean, it is our show, Tick. So you know what? You're right. Give me the Jets buying half a point to make sure that hook is there for a little security. And I think the frisky Jets will make Herbert's night a little bit tough. Because I don't think they're going to be able to stay balanced like they were against the Bears, where they were working them with Eckler and then there was no pressure on Herbert. Like the Jets defense is just better than that. And I think the Jets are going to come in high off that win against the Giants. And I think that there's a real sense of belief in this team that Aaron Rodgers could somehow come back by the end of the season, which is preposterous to think about, but the guy's out there throwing off his back foot. And it is what it is. So I just like the spot for the Jets. I do. And if weather is a factor, I like it even more because we know Justin Herbert is not going to be built for that.
The Jet came up to me the other day and he's like, we need to start considering the fact that maybe Aaron Rodgers didn't actually tear his Achilles. Maybe it didn't happen because he's coming back so fast.
I know it's sick.
He's rehabbing like 12 hours a day.
You're Aaron Rodgers. I guess you could afford to rehab 12 hours a day.
I guess you can do that. Joey D, who do you like in that game?
I'm rooting for the Jets. I want to see Aaron come back. It would be sensational. But my God, they have potentially the worst quarterback in the league right now. This young man from BYU, I'm going to say young man again. He is so fucking bad, dude. I was watching them against the Giants. They could not complete a first down until the very end of the game.
Tough watch.
And then somehow they almost banged themselves because Lazard got a first down and he didn't go down and they almost didn't spike the ball. It's chaos. 3 points is I think this could be a push easily.
They're frisky, Joe.
Yeah, I'll go with the Jets. I'll go with the Jets solely because of their defense and only because of that. And I think they got something to play for. Listen, if they keep winning games, they're going to be in a potential playoff spot. And my God, if Aaron Rodgers comes back in the playoffs, he's either going to obliterate his Achilles in the first play again and we'll never see him again, or he's going to lead them to the Super Bowl. There's no in between. There really isn't.
FP?
Give me the Jets.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of talk coming into the season about what Aaron Rodgers would do for the Jets, how good this defense really was, and what this team would really be. And I think after watching this team play without him, it's pretty clear that if they did have him, this team is like a one loss team, right? Like this is one of the best teams in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers on it. That defense is unbelievably good. They have so many weapons still on offense that makes Zach Wilson look a little bit better than he is. And he looks really bad. But I'm going to piggyback on Joe here. I think Zach Wilson is so horribly bad and skittish in the pocket. He can't even get rid of the ball on fourth downs at end of the game to stay in it. It's just, it's bizarre stuff. He's an uncomfortable guy. I think the Chargers have got to see this line and feel pretty disrespected. We've got to look in the mirror a little bit about who they are. I like the Chargers here. I like Chargers coming in and finally kind of living up to a little bit of hype. So that's where I'm at.
This is my game of the week. I'm going to make this my game of the
week. Oh, the tick.
I'm taking the Jets.
Wow. Tick. Wow.
The Chargers defense hasn't given up fewer than 17 points. The Chargers defense is absolutely.
They held the Bears in check last week.
They have not.
What is that? The four of us could hold the Bears in check.
That's right. They love giving up points, man. The Chargers defense loves giving up points. Zach Wilson looked all time bad, maybe one of the worst performances I've ever seen. But the Giants defense is good. The Giants are a bad team with a good defense. And Zach Wilson got exposed, man. But the Chargers do not have anywhere near what the Giants do. And if they do, they have not been performing like it. And the Jets have a great fucking defense. And Justin Herbert has been struggling all fucking season. He is, even when he's had wide open guys, he's been missing some guys. He's one of the best quarterbacks out there. Everyone will tell you he's one of the best quarterbacks, but he's missing throws. He just doesn't look right. Like a lot of these guys we've been talking about, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. A lot of these guys are just off right now. And Justin Herbert's probably the biggest of them all. And the Jets have a really devastating defense, and that's what's been keeping them in all these fucking games. So I like the Jets to come out here. I don't think they're – I think it's going to be a close game, but I like them to win this game. I like – that's my game of the week. I think Jets +3. I'd love to take the hook with Mikey, and I normally – maybe I would do that, but if it's my game of the week, I'm just going to ride with the spread. I'm going to take Jets +3. And that's going to about do it for this week. Mikey, did you have a game of the week?
Give me Seattle +5.5. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You want to put a Perez game of the week?
I have a game of the week.
That's absolutely.
You can have a game of the
not,
week.
It's not can you. You must.
You should.
I like can I go off spread? Can I go Buccaneers money line away as the dog?
Yeah, of course.
Texans.
Yeah, of course.
I like Bucks on the road against the Texans money line. I don't need the points.
Going with friend of the pod, Baker Mayfield.
Friend of the pod. Going with Baker on this one.
Wow.
And there,
Mr. Anderson, we got to add Perez to the game of the week then so we can keep tabs.
That's correct,
of course. And you're getting plus money with Perez's Bucks pick too.
I mean, that's a dog money line pick,
right, man? You're getting points there, but he says fuck the points. He wants the
points.
And now let's go into the viewer questions of the week. Thank you for your questions. As always, like, comment, subscribe, fire your questions into the Instagram. Mr. A will send them our way and we will read them on the show. First question of the week. Ryan Samuelson, not sports related, but interesting. He asks, any amusing fender bender or car crash stories?
What a bizarre question.
But it could be interesting.
I was on the Garden State Parkway one time in New Jersey, and this group of gentlemen in front of me who appeared to be, you know, of foreign descent, were driving a pickup truck illegally loaded to the top brim, not regulation, DOT regulation by any means, and an armchair flew off the back and actually flew and hit the hood of my car and sliced the hood of my car open. The leg of the chair, like, must have met the hood perfectly, so the legs, like that little piece of metal on the bottom of the leg to glide it on the floor, must have hit the hood, sliced it open like a tuna can. Luckily, when it hit the hood, it rolled over the top of my windshield, didn't crack the windshield, it kind of broke the impact, I guess.
That's wild.
That was like one of those, like, that was like a Final Destination moment. And I was young too. I was only like 20 years old or 19 years old. So like they pulled over, I pulled over. They tried to tell me they had a garage in like Queens or something where I could like go and get it. They'll take care of it.
Fuck,
I was like,
that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be dialing the state police. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick either, but it just seemed like I was never going to get fair compensation for that incident. So that would be my story. Yeah.
All right.
I have one. Not a good one. It's a bit embarrassing. I had just gotten my learner's permit. So it was like, or my new driver. So I just gotten my license, and I think it was like the second or third time I had ever driven. My mom asked me to go to the store to pick up some bread or some groceries that she needed. And I was at the IGA supermarket, like three blocks away from the house or four blocks away. And in the parking lot, it's a tight parking lot. I just rolled on into reverse and just smashed into somebody's fucking parked car. And I had to call my dad, who was so pissed, and he had to come down because I didn't even know what to do. Like I had just got, so they're like, oh, you have insurance? And I was freaking out and all nervous and shit. That was a tough moment for me. And I got one other story too. And this is probably the worst. And my friends, by the way, people would think that this is not true, that it didn't happen. It did. I was barreling down the street of where my work was in Burnaby. I used to work at a place called Horizon at the top of Burnaby Mountain. There's this narrow street that went down. And I was on my phone, like looking at my phone. And then all of a sudden I look up and a squirrel came like running across the street. And I don't know why I tried to avoid the squirrel and completely barreled off the side of the road and smashed into a sign. And it totaled the my no-no's truck that he had given me. Rest in peace. The car was in absolute shambles. I had to get rid of the truck, and my dad again had to come up, and he was like, what the hell are you doing?
You told him about the squirrel?
Yeah, nobody believed me about the squirrel. Everybody thought it was bullshit.
I don't know if I believe the squirrel.
I don't believe it at all.
Don't swear for squirrels, dude. Everybody knows that. A billion of them.
They were just like, you're on your phone, you weren't paying attention, you fucked up. And I was on my phone, I'm not gonna deny that. But for me to fabricate the story and say that I tried to, as a humanitarian, not kill the squirrel. I mean, it's an embarrassing story. Like, why would I come up with something so preposterous? That's a tough one. And my friends can attest to that because they made fun of me for weeks. But then because of that, I got my first ever brand new car. It was a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
That checks out. Absolutely checks out.
A silver driving a
Mitsubishi Eclipse makes all the sense in the world.
That made its way all the way to L.A. You had
it
that.
Did. I did. Yeah, I drove that car for some time.
FP, anything interesting?
I introduced a van to a tunnel recently.
Oh, that's right.
So I think
we were all there for that too.
Yeah. I think I'll hang out in that one. That's probably hopefully it's definitely as bad as it's been, and hopefully as bad as it'll ever be.
There could still be some pending investigation there.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it.
No, we're not going to go there.
I certainly not flying to Canada. I'll tell you that.
All right. Thank you for your question. We'll do one more. Let's do one more.
One more.
This one comes from Parker Hasty. If he wants to know, biggest bet you ever hit. You don't have to necessarily give up the number if you don't feel like it, but just what was the game? What happened? What were the circumstances? Joe, let's start with you on this one.
Biggest single bet or betting day?
I think single bet or whatever you want. If you whatever
single bet, single bet.
Recently, Texas Rangers money line against the Astros game six was a terrible week. And I just went for it, and I don't ever normally do that. I really believed in this team, and my guy was like, listen, I think this is a play that you gotta max out. And I went to the, it was such a swing that it was going to be the case of me having to fork out a whole boatload to the point where I ended up actually up. And that was fantastic. But I will say this, I don't think that I am in any time going to do something like that again, because it's just not worth it. It's like the blood pressure I had throughout that game, pacing, they had bases loaded, and Leclerc struck, I forget who was out, and I almost blacked out. There's Mikey V says it very well. You know, play with what you can afford. Not to say that I couldn't afford that, but just if it starts making a dent in your week or starting to be a situation where it's uncomfortable, probably don't need to do that.
Mikey?
Yeah, I was drunk on a college football Saturday. I fell asleep, but before I did, I was up big. I was up very big, and I let it all ride in a very, very drunken state on Hawaii. On a Hawaii 12 a.m. kickoff and a Deontay Wilder heavyweight boxing match for him to KO his opponent. Obviously, I knew both were going to go off very late, and I was like, it was already past the night games, so the only window left was Hawaii and the main event of a boxing pay-per-view. I fell asleep. I did not watch either of these events, but I did wake up a wealthy man that morning because the parlay did come through and in. That was a great wake up.
To not watch a second.
I had every intention to watch. Every intention.
Hawaii is just a wild play.
Hawaii back in the day used to be one of the best things to bet in the world. In the world.
They're the most gambled team in sports.
Are you serious?
Yes. The 12 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, man. It's the last slate.
All you got left.
And you know, there's only gambling like that on college is like, it's certain level of degeneracy. So you know when like all the chips are down, there's only one team left. That's it.
Especially back in the day with what's lots. His name?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Who was that guy quarterback who was so
Jimmy Chang?
Colt yeah. Brennan. No, the guy who passed away.
Colt Brennan,
yes. Yeah. That was a lot.
I was a big Timmy Chang guy, too.
Yeah, him, too.
These guys used to pass for like 8,000 yards. Yeah,
exactly.
It was amazing.
It's a great quarterback name, by the way, Colt Brennan.
Yeah. Colt Brennan.
I won a lot of money. I used to bet a lot of European soccer, Champions League specifically.
I love that.
So I would get together with some boys and I'd put out a lot of different parlays, a lot of like intertwining plays, a lot of connecting plays. And I hit I think it was a 6-game parlay.
Oh,
in like,
I love that.
I don't know. That's it was probably nice. 2018, 2019, something like that. Champions League. That had a nice payout.
That's beautiful. Betting soccer is fucking, you want to talk about an adrenaline rush? Betting soccer is fucking fun, man. It really is. When a Liverpool goal gets scored in soccer, the reaction.
Oh, yeah. When you're a Liverpool fan like Perez, you'll never walk alone.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the lines are so crazy because the tie comes into play, right? You got three
the
bets.
The tie, yeah. Correct.
So you can get on a favorite, you can get plus money on a favorite, or, you know, you often do. Yes. So if you line up six plus money favorites and they all do their job early on in group play, you get the end of group play, points come to evolve. We don't need a win. You got to really balance
aggregate,
that stuff.
Yeah.
But early on in group play, when these big boys are still trying to get their points in, you can make some money.
Wow. betting tip with Perez there. I like that.
Perez has been a great addition to this week's episode. He really has.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
Take it. Tell me yours.
A true sportsman.
Well, I mean, I don't have necessarily a great – I mean, I can't even think of what it might be, but there is one more question that I want to get to, and I'll answer it myself. It's from Bass Wieck. Who is the hottest better between the three of you right now? Head on over to the Only Subs with Mikey. This guy, hottest better alive. Give him some love. He just can't miss right now. I mean, I make money with him every week. You're stupid not to. If you're paying that $2.99 a month, it's cheaper than a cup of coffee. He'll tell you. Go ahead and get on that. Mikey V, you want to plug that real quick? Because you're hot, man.
No, I mean, just venture over, join the brotherhood. I mean, we're having a great time. So Monday night was like Mardi Gras in that group chat. It was fucking wild. Joseph?
I'm going to start asking for some kind of like compensation, because every time I don't jump on board, Mikey V goes nuclear. Like, and then as soon as I start dabbling, we start missing.
Here's what you have to do. You have to jump on board, but you have to not text the group and say I'm a rider today.
I'm trying to support you.
No, I know that, but support in silence, because I do believe you're there. I do believe, like Perez, I'll check in after the weekend and I'll be like, did you ride? And he'll be like, I sure did.
Yeah, well, I'll just send all caps.
Oh, that's true. After the dubs,
he knows what I'm not texting during the game or winning. I let it all go.
We've done that. Like, listen, if
that's
like
the funnest when Mikey V and I text back and
forth. Yeah, but we need to do that with non-sub picks, because I do agree, Joe. I feel like for whatever reason it is, that any of the picks that I put out, whenever you do come on and then we're texting about them, we do have a rough luck on that.
I miss the digest days when you, me, and Bob would ride like the Buffalo and like these wild games, and we were hidden and it was back and forth like shenanigans. And now, like, I don't touch a lot of the subs games because I feel like I'm poison. I feel like when I jump on board, it's like I don't know. It's sad.
That's a scary reality to live in right there. That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's not true, Joe. That's
a lot of my reality is terrifying for us.
Well,
I wouldn't want to live more than that. There's also no better than Ryder than Perez.
Just
be like, yeah, I think I'm going to go on USC plus 13 and a half. He's like, I'll get in on that. You're going.
Yeah,
on?
Yeah, no, yeah.
I do.
The ultimate Ryder.
I never question why the play is being made. I just question what it is, who said it, because I want to ride, but I also want to I'll ride everyone's bets, but I need to like manage whose bet it was, because then I'll like turn and be like, Jet the Chiefs, and he's like, I had Eagles, and I'm like, oh fuck, that was Bob's Chiefs play, because I want to get in the mix. I like getting up in the, I like rolling around in the mix a little bit. I'm not gonna do the research, right? Like, I'm just not gonna do it.
You're not gonna put in the man hours for the prize, you're not gonna put liquid paper on a B.
I'm not going to crunch the numbers. I'm not going to look at the metrics. I'm not. I'm simply going to ask my friend what are you guys talking about? Well, I think we're going to get on the Jets second half game. Let me know if you do. Let me know the line. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the ultimate guy, man.
That's an athlete, not a mathlete that you're looking at down there.
Yeah.
And if he somehow does have a different bet than you and he's winning and you're losing, he'll act like we're all losing. He won't be the guy being like, actually, I got a bet over there.
That's gambling etiquette 101, though. I mean, that is gambling. There are commandments to sports gambling. That is one of them. You just shut the fuck up.
There's some guys who could never do that. Dickie Gass could never do that.
No, Dickie Gass. No, no.
Oh, God forbid you're going against Dickie Gass. He'll let you know every score.
Yes, he
every,
will.
Every yes, completion. Will.
That's correct.
I'm sure. Oh, my Lord.
That's correct.
Another example. Was Kentucky, what was it, Kentucky, Tennessee? Was that this weekend? Was
yeah.
That
the, Kentucky so you guys
had
us.
Kentucky money line or something like that. I had gotten it, or minus four or something. I had gotten it live where Kentucky was like plus 10 and a half. But obviously, I'm still rooting for you guys, because if you guys hit, then I certainly hit. And when you guys are stressing plays, like, oh, shit, he missed the field goal. There's no way we're going to be able to cover. I'm not going to be the guy from over here being like, but I got 10 and a half. So, like,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
Like, why would I do that? Right. That's ridiculous.
That's exactly right. All right, gentlemen. Well, this was another good week. Again, thank you, Perez, for coming on board. It's always better when you're here. It's a lot of fun. We all love you. As always, we got Mikey V. We got Joey D. You got myself, the big ticket. Like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube and the Instagram. Fire your questions in. Mr. A will field those and throw them on over to us, and we will answer them at the end of each episode. We appreciate y'all. That's another edition of The Sportsman, and we will see you next week. We'll be right back.